If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm, the 27th Psalm. Is it? Psalm 27, verses, I'm going to read verses 13 and 14, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard. I would have despaired unless I have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And if I have to give you a topic, my topic is wait on God. When you order something online, you typically get to choose the fact how fast you want it to be delivered to you. Well, that isn't the case when you pray. If truth be told, and we were being totally honest with each other, most of us don't like waiting. Well, maybe I better talk to myself, because y'all look all so spiritual and true. Most of us don't like waiting, particularly if we are waiting for something to change or something to get better. Waiting can be a very frustrating experience. Have you ever been at a red light that wouldn't change? That means that you are stuck there. The things aren't letting you go forward. Maybe you have been in a doctor's office, like I used to do when I go to the VA hospital. They called everybody's name but yours. Have you ever been on the phone to call calling a business or something, and the first thing they do, they say, well, we're going to put you on hold, and they start playing music. The music go on and on and on. Man, at least they could put a decent song on. 5 minutes gone, and you still music is going on and on. And your question is, what is taking so long? Sometimes it seems that God has your life in neutral. I mean, the motor and everything is running. You hear the motor running, but the wheels aren't turning. It seems like God is never in a hurry like you are. I should say like we are. Or maybe not talking to you, talking to myself, like I am. We call on him, and he doesn't seem like he wants the answer. Many of us are like Habakkuk in chapter 2. It says, when he cries out, long, how long will I call for help and you will not hear me? You are not answering me and you are not giving me no information. And if truth be told, in your private moment, sometimes the thought of bailing out on God crosses your mind. We feel bad for thinking it. You don't like to think it. You wish you haven't thought it, but you thunk it anyway. It crossed the mind, but maybe that isn't real because I am not hearing anything. Have you experienced anything like that? This is a day to be truth. Tell the truth. I've been knowing the Lord for quite a few years, but sometimes I say, Lord, are you not there? Are you not hearing me? Like the pilot who was flying a plane. He was flying a four-engine plane. And as he was flying, the fourth engine shut down. Still flying and still trying to make it, the third engine shut down. Then the second engine shut down. Then the first engine, all engines were gone. So the pilot put on his parachute, went to the exit, and looked back at the people and said, folks, don't worry. I'm just going to get some help. Because sometimes it feels like God has bailed out on you. And he has left you flying by yourself. And if not that, he has got you in holding pattern. And I have experienced that holding pattern situation before. Coming back from, well, Vietnam, get right at near the airport, and we can't land because it's so crowded. So they stack you up. We're going around and around in circles, just waiting to land. The unfulfilled dreams, and yet over and over again in the Bible, we are told to wait on the Lord. Very interesting. The choir sung that, wait on the Lord this morning. For example, in Psalm 130, one of the many examples in verses 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and his word do I hope. In verse 6 it says, my soul waits for the Lord. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, just going to paraphrase this, verses 25 and 26. It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. So many times this is mentioned, wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Does it mean to sit in your old chair, rocking chair, and hoping that something will happen? Hoping things will get better someday? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Particularly when you have been waiting and you haven't heard a thing. Here is the definition of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, according to the Bible, means to not go outside of God to resolve your issues. That is the temptation. While waiting on God to intervene on your circumstances, on your behalf, and he is taking his time, not talking to you, to take the matters to your own hands, to go outside of his revealed will. And so you stop waiting on the Lord and you take matters into your own hands. The book of James, chapter 5. See if I can find that. James chapter 5, let's see. Verse starting at the 7th verse. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for this precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. Verse 8. You too be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. Verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Verse 10. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patient, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Verse 11, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And verse 12, above all, my brethren, do not swear, either or neither by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no is to be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. He says, wait on the Lord, because if you go outside of God to make it happen apart from God, you delay God in his intervention. One of the ways he says in James 5, is you know you are delaying God, is spending a lot of time complaining instead of worshiping. If you have a complaining spirit, That is, being honest about a problem. That means that you have become a whiner against God and against others because you are tired of waiting. He says, instead of God being your deliverer, he now must be your judge. In the Bible, there are many illustrations of people having to wait on God to fulfill his word in their lives. Abraham, y'all remember Abraham and Sarah? God promised them a child, and according to his will, and they got all within up into themselves. They got in the flesh, and it went in, and it was delayed. Noah waited for 120 years before he saw the first rain cloud. Martha and Mary had to wait as Jesus intentionally delayed before the miracles of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Everybody had to wait. Hannah had to wait before she got her pregnancy. Ruth had to wait before she got a husband. And we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Part of the Christian experience at various times in our Christian lives is to wait. Waiting on the Lord means not going outside of God to resolve the issue, and also obeying God as you wait, based on his revealed will from the word, because you will never see what he planned to do in your secret unless he sees that you are obeying what he has revealed. God doesn't tell you everything. He's going to do but what he has told you. He expects you to do until he shows you what you don't know that he will do. When you are sick, you go to the doctor. He writes a prescription for you. You fill the prescription. The doctor expects you to go in your pain and take the medicine until you get better. You fill the prescription. The doctor expects you to go take the medicine. He didn't tell you to go read it. He didn't tell you to meditate on it. He didn't tell you to talk to other people about it. He just told you to go take the medicine that he prescribed for you. He wants you to take the medicine when you have got to wait for the medicine to do what it was designed to do. But the longer you take to take what he has written, the longer you are going to be sick and have to wait. A lot of people who like to talk about the written word, they talk to other people about the written word. They think about what is written. They listen to other folks in the pulpit tell you what is written, but never take the medicine and wonder why they aren't getting better. Wonder why you're still waiting for divine intervention. Depending on the illness, some medicines work quick. Some take a little time. Some you have to take over time, depending on the needs to happen, what needs to happen to your physical body. Lord is the great physician. And he looks at whether there is obedience, because that affects the timing you have to wait. To some of us have been waiting for years what God wanted to do in months. Some of us have been waiting for months what God wanted to change in weeks, because he can't get us to do what is written. We will read about it, discuss it, but not act on it, which means that there is no faith, no obedience, and we wait. Waiting does involve time, depending on the situation, the person, the obedience. It does involve time. Antoine is not here, but I remember Antoine. He was in elementary school, and he brought home a pine tree plant in a little Dixie cup. So he kept after me to go out there and plant this little pine tree plant. It's about that tall. So we planted it on a Friday. So Saturday, we went out to see how much it had grown. Nothing was happening. But it all was happening under the soil, under the dirt, until the right time came that pine plant became a full-grown pine tree. Believe it or not, that pine tree is about 40 years old and is still in the yard. I wish I had planted it somewhere else. When God is silent, he is not still. But a lot of his activity and purposes are being put together underneath the dirt until such time that his plan and purposes are revealed. 2 Peter 2:9, God knows how to deliver his people. It is not a lack of his ability. So when you are tempted to complain about waiting, that is an invitation to you, or you are waiting, to obey him and to worship him. So what is God doing while we wait? A couple of things are happening. And nothing and no one illustrates these two things like the story of Joseph. The story is found in Psalms 105. Verses 16 through 20. I'm just going to tell you about it. There is a timing aspect to Joseph's life. One reason that God has us waiting for various things is that he is doing something bigger than you are. In other words, he sent Joseph ahead of his brothers and Jacob his father to prepare the way for the rest of the family to come in order to build a nation in the land of Egypt. So while Joseph was the one being sent, he was being sent for a bigger purpose. That is why Joseph finally realized what God was doing, and he says, God sent me here to save all of you. One of the reasons you are waiting is because God is up to something bigger than just you. But how did he send him? That's the question. How did he send him? Well, his brothers got jealous. And they were so jealous of him because his father had built him a coat of many colors. They had him thrown in a pit. They argued about the fact that he was dead. His brother sold him to the Ishmaelites as a slave. He was taken into slavery and sold to Egypt to Potiphar's house. Once Potiphar's house, it looks like everything was getting better until one day he was accused of rape, even though he didn't commit rape. He is thrown into jail. Guess how God sent him? He sent him through things that were wrong in his life. He sent him through things that were going backwards in his life. He sent him to one negative situation after another, and he is miserable while God is sending him. Joseph, not knowing whether he was going to live or die, and God was saying, I got to get you out of here. I'm going to create a negative situation to get you out of here. If you have walked with God for any length of time, you know he doesn't mind U-turns and detours. It is rare when a Christian don't run into U-turns and detours to get to their destiny, their deliverance, or their purpose. God is doing something bigger than you. Amen. Another reason God has us waiting is in verse 19 of the same of the book of Psalms. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord is tested. Sometimes you're waiting because he is testing you. You're going through a test. I remember one time I preached a sermon, it's only a test. But God, I prayed, I'm doing what I think I should do, but you're not answering me. But remember, your destiny. The harder or the higher God is planning to take you, the more you're going to, or the deeper situations you're going to come across to prepare you for that spot that he has already prepared for you, waiting for you to get there. A test is an adverse circumstance that God allows to come into your life for your spiritual development. Because he is not merely after the thing you want him to do. He is after changing the person that he is dealing with. Everybody wants the blessing, but few want the development. You know, a child will take candy from you all day long. He'll take money from you to buy candy all day long, but correction they don't want. Kids want the fun side of parenting. He says it was done to test him because of where God was taking Joseph to be second ruler in Egypt. Amen. He had to take him deeper. He had to take him through some stuff because of where he was taking him. So God tests to take us deeper and further. There were some men in training in the army. And part of their training was to jump over this creek, a little narrow river, without falling in. Well, some made it halfway. Some made it a quarter of the way. Some made it three-fourths of the way. But the thing, they didn't make it. But most of all that tried couldn't make it. So the sergeant decided to, he said, men, you are out of shape. So he had to do something to get them back in shape. So what he did was put an alligator in the river. Everybody made it. Because sometimes you need some negative stuff in your experience to take you further than you think you can go on your own. Test him to do what he did to Job. Does he only worship you for stuff because you made him rich? He was the richest man in the East. God, you blessed him. You gave him a lot of good stuff. You take that stuff away from him, and he will stop worshiping you. You know, it is easy to worship God when you have your bank account is full. It's easy to worship God when your health is good. It's easy to worship God when you don't have any pain, suffering going on. But you take all that stuff away, will you still worship him? See, the Lord says, but do you worship me for who I am? And not only for what I can do for you. This is going to be a year waiting on the Lord. People don't like to hear that. They're like, oh, this is a year of blessings. Yeah, things are going to change. But I'm saying to you, because God is going to be a blessing to you, you're going to reach your destiny through God, but it's going to be tests and trials. This is the time of waiting on the Lord, not complaining, but obeying his word, obeying what is written, and worshiping him. You know, certain situations come on, you say, well, that's easier said than done. But you know, that's why the Lord is testing you. That's why you go through things. That's why look over your back, over your life. Look at where he brought you from. Each situation, each circumstance, some are very serious. But it's to build you up and to prepare you for that place that he wants you to be. So I'm just encouraging each and every one of you this morning just to wait on the Lord. Psalms that he renew your strength. That we man up on wings as eagles. We can walk and not be weary, run and not faint. Wait, I said, upon the Lord. Heavenly Father.